No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
We're back on We Want Winners. The very first preseason game is in the books. And Rod, I don't know what you thought, but three quarters of that game was pretty unwatchable, but that first quarter was actually kind of fun there, watching that football game.
Not awful. Not awful. It was, it was good. You know, Mac looked good for a minute. Precisely until he didn't. And I'm sure we'll touch on one of us will touch on the good that was there in the first. It got pretty bad though in the second half. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't watch any of the fourth quarter, if to be completely honest. The third was enough for me, and I was actually bunch of stuff, yada yada happened, and then I was at dialysis yesterday, and I got finished just as the third quarter was ending.
Okay.
And I had the option of either like sitting in my car and watching it on NFL Plus on my phone, or driving to get something to eat, and I opted for the latter.
It was the better decision. It was, for sure.
I was like, see, this is really testing my fanhood, because I could just sit here hungry and watch this and watch Taylor Mordecai, but no, I'm not.
We're gonna try and give you the good, the bad, and the ugly for this game. You know, it's almost like, I don't want to say the game snuck up on me, because I kind of knew, like, I know that they had practiced against each other, and I know, okay, that means that they're going to play. But the way that they do preseason these days, do the Niners have three preseason games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, because when I was a kid, it used to be four. And then I think this is an admission for that game 17. And if we get game 18, then maybe they only have two preseason games.
Well, I know that the thing is that, you know, it's always been the revenue. I remember, you know, I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about how back in the day, like when it was 12 games, there used to be six preseason games.
Oh my gosh.
That's like a little before my time, but that's crazy. So it's always been 18 games, it seems like, you know. Yeah. So as they have made the regular season longer, they've chopped off preseason games, but they've been pretty consistent about getting those 18 dates. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah. So the difference, you know, you to just try and compare apples to apples between the Niners and the Broncos was a little bit hard based on what they did, because the Broncos were able to play some of their first stringers and the 49ers just opted out of that. And in some cases wouldn't have been able to, because they had a lot of their first stringers were dinged up, and we'll get into the injuries and such. So from an apples to apples comparison, it was sort of like Niners second stringers against some of the Broncos first stringers. And then they had a, you know, a couple of back and forths as far as possessions were concerned. And then when the Niners had to put in their third stringers, that's kind of when all hell broke loose, including and because just depth wise, they have so many injuries already, to the point of, I saw today that they signed Jeff Wilson back in the red and gold. And, you know, I think people can sort of see why. You have Christian McCaffrey. He's coming back from this Achilles injury. And who's behind him? Well, Isaac Garendo. Well, Isaac Garendo, often injured last year, already hurt this year. Bringing back somebody who knows the playbook and probably suit up very soon if they need him to. So bringing him back because Amir Abdullah gets hurt during this game. So it's just like just a bunch of question marks, I think, with the depth. But
and
let's
Jordan
actually
James as well.
Jordan James. And so let's get into some of the things that we liked. Now, we'll each give something we liked, something that was and then something that was just downright ugly. I will say, I think the easiest one, and this is probably cheating, Chase Lucas, who got the start because Upton Stout was not playing. He was somebody who they hold out. They held out late because of injury, and you know, not even really injury. I think it was probably more precaution than anything else. But Chase Lucas, if you were watching and you were wondering who's that little dude that blitzed and caused was it Stidham or Bo Nix to get throw the ball out of bounds and get safetied?
Stidham.
Okay, it was Stidham. So, Robert Saleh was like, be ready. We may be throwing a couple of blitzes at them. Chase Lucas came off the corner. Stidham was like, I'm not going to get hit. I will throw this thing out of bounds, even though nobody is over there, and we'll take the safety because it is preseason. But he was kind of all over the field, and it was hard to not see him. Now, I think he was a practice squatter last year. So I don't know how much opportunity he's going to get, especially once their defensive backfield is solidified. But again, lots of issues back there as well. Renardo Green didn't play. Almost none of their safeties played. So Lucas got an opportunity to show his stuff, and he looked really good. And hopefully for him, it means, you know, that there's some possibilities for him to be something on this roster.
Yeah, I mean that it's a tricky thing because, like you say, a lot of those spots. I mean, you look at safety, and I would imagine just based on not necessarily, I guess you could say, you know, with Mustafa kind of performance, but just with the draft capital that they've put out, that Brown, obvious, I would think that Mustafa and Brown would kind of be, would ideally be their starters, I guess. They say they like Jason Pinnock. He's another one of Saleh's Jets guys who everybody says he played well for him at the Jets. But when I looked at his tape this summer from the Giants last year, he stunk. Kind of like Bryce Huff, same thing. They both were not good the last time we saw them play. Like literally, statistically, Pinnock was one of the worst safeties in the league last year. Bad. So, but if you tell me that, you know, somehow the scheme is going to, you know, fix it all, I guess you can tell me that Pinnock is a player. Same thing with Richie Grant and all these guys that they're kind of just out here. Siegel is a young guy, so, you know, and apparently he's good at special teams. So, it's when you talk about how many they've normally kept, if you start counting these guys, you know, Lucas is going to have to knock somebody off of the roster. And it was a good start for him this week because he really, of everybody, I think, he flashed more so than anybody.
He may have to knock somebody off, or they just knock themselves off because these guys are having trouble staying healthy. You mentioned Siegel, and he looked good, but he got dinged up on his knee. It sounds like, I don't know if it was a helmet to the knee or something, but it sounds like it was a bone bruise more than an actual injury that they're worried about. So hopefully he will not be out long. But it was very easy to see Lucas all over the field. And when he was in the mix, it was actually kind of fun. But who was the person on your good list?
I'm going to go with the Hulk. Sebastian Vargas, as Tim Green kept calling him, Valdez is what his name really is. Tim Green called him Vargas like six times. But he kind of flashed. You know, he's a big guy, and you know, he was active, and that was, you know, him. And then Kalea Davis, I don't know that either of those guys are gonna like be starters, but yeah, there is a lot of room for depth pieces, and you know, just to have competent guys rotating in. And that's one of the things that I've been calling for, is like the last two or three years, really, you know, we've been going to the scratch and dent pile, signing veteran minimum guys, you know, for our depth, particularly on the defensive line. And you need depth pieces, you know, and if you can get them on rookie contracts or develop them, you know, like this guy, he'll be with us for 4 years guaranteed. So if he can if he can be a depth piece, that's a good thing. If you can come out of this draft, we had 11 draft picks. You would expect, if you could come out of this draft with two starters and two guys that you can reliably, who are rotation guys, that's a good draft. I mean, four players out of 11 isn't necessarily a great percentage, but you know, in today's salary cap sport, you have to have guys on, you know, rookie deals, and quite a few of them. And it was good to see. I know Davis isn't really a rookie or even a young player, really, but he's been hurt so often that I kind of lump him in with, I mean, because he's been around for, I think, 3 years now, but he hasn't really played. You know, I know like his first year, he missed completely. Mm-hmm. And then he was there last year, and I get confused. I think this is his third year, but he looked good. But Valdez was the one who really stuck out to me. And again, we need those guys to be rotation players. That's in the preseason, when you look at guys that really flash, because you're not going to get your frontline guys out there, what you're looking for is guys who can be rotation, you know, that you're seeing like Lucas, who flashes and looks good. But in an ideal world, in a regular season, he's not going to play 60 snaps, but if he's called on to play, you know, 8 or 10, you know, he's somebody who looked like, you know, from yesterday, can come in and give you something, which is, you know, it's a valuable thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely. He, Valdez, Davis, and Robert Beal Jr. all had sacks in the game. By the way, I didn't even mention this at the top, but it was 30-9 was the score. And you know, it was 9-0 in the first quarter. And then the 49ers did nothing offensively for the rest of the game, and the Broncos scored 30 unanswered points. They didn't do
anything positive. They did a lot. did a lot.
So you
not much of it good.
You mentioned Tim Ryan. And so obviously Greg Papa, we should mention.
I said Tim Green, Tim Ryan, you're right. Sorry.
Greg Papa, I think Cambiar and him, he on Twitter wrote that he's dealing with cancer. And so he's out. And so Guy Haberman took the play-by-play and Tim Ryan took the Tim Ryan is their color analyst during the preseason and on the radio, of course. Tim Ryan, I don't know if he and Gus Bradley are friends. It's very possible that he and Gus Bradley are friends. Carter Bradley, Gus's son, was the third. He was the second quarterback in the game, but he's in the running for the third string spot on the roster. And Carter Bradley threw some of the silly is not the right word because there's guys running in wrong spots and stuff. Not everyone's on the same page, but even in preseason, like these were bad interceptions. Yeah. And Tim Ryan continued to say, oh yeah, but you know, when he throws that ball, I'm sure those wide receivers, they hear the whizzing. He throws it so hard. And I'm like, great. He throws it so hard so that the other team can catch it. Like that doesn't do anything for us. And you know, it's part of the reason I'm not that big of a Tim Ryan fan, because I think he's like a 49ers hired gun. Like they love his announcing, I'm sure. But I was like, man, like these other guys, like Mordecai, he's like, man, I wish I had the in with Tim so that he could talk about me that glowingly when I play, you know, to play that poorly. But it's just funny because of who maybe for whatever reason, Tim Ryan did a little bit more studying on Carter because he didn't know Carter that well. So he had all these things that he had done some research on. So he needed to talk him up. But yeah, I just think it's odd when the guy who's doing the commentary just continues to speak so glowingly about a player who's doing really poorly. Like there was like one throw where I'm like, okay, like what you've been saying this whole time, I got that makes sense. And there was another one that was dropped, but all these other throws are just all over the place, throwing it to where the DB actually cuts on the ball and has a perfect, it's almost like the DB was the receiver. There was a lot of that, but Tim Ryan was at his best, and it's why I don't listen to their radio. I'd rather listen to the national broadcasters because I don't like Ryan. I like Papa. Papa's great, but I'm not a big Ryan guy. Okay, so
I'd never heard Guy, but yeah, it's so funny that if you're a Bay Area fan for the longest time, I mean, I, as a Bay Area fan, Papa, you know, the 49ers are still like third in terms of who I think of when I think of Greg Papa.
Yeah.
And, but it was weird not hearing him on the broadcast. So obviously I hope he gets better, but 100%. it was strange. You know, like I say, I still think of him as a Warriors or Raiders announcer before I think of the 49ers, and every time he says touchdown 49ers, I'm expecting him to mess up and say Raiders. But but it's, you know, it's been years now and he is our guy. So again, I don't love listening to them either, but nevertheless, I hope he is well, and I hope for him to come back for me not to like listen to him. I want him to come back in good health.
I was actually surprised it wasn't Fitz, though. It was Haberman instead of Fitz.
I just assume weird.
Fitz. I just assume Fitz is just always there when
around.
Yeah.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's some good, there's some bad. Jordan Watkins, he showed some nice chemistry with Mac Jones, and he showed, you know, why they drafted him. Obviously, he had a 50-yard catch. It was really like, I mean, if you're looking at the offense, it was probably the best play of the offensive day. A 50-yard catch and run on the opening drive. He and Mac look good together. But they were throwing him a lot of screens and such, just trying to get him the football with some space to give him an opportunity to run. Those plays didn't necessarily work as well, but you could see them trying to get him involved so that he could get some good stuff on tape. And thankfully, they had that nice play. So that play, brilliant. The other stuff, it was like, they're trying to get him involved. He didn't really break anything. He didn't really make a whole lot of something out of nothing. But I would say mostly positive for Jordan Watkins. What'd you think about Jordan?
Yeah, he looked good, especially early on. It's again, though, I had heard, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, but, you know, Tim Ryan, you know, had mentioned a couple of things, like he had a couple of routes that he ran where he didn't get beyond the sticks. And, you know, he mentioned, you know, those are little things or the reasons why in a Kyle Shanahan offense, if you aren't detail oriented, those are the things that can be a bugaboo for younger receivers. So that's something to watch. But I thought he looked good, and especially again on that, you know, he's got all the tools, definitely. And they need him.
That is the fact that he, like, obviously all of this stuff is in pencil when it comes to depth chart. Who knows what Kyle is thinking? Just all that we know about rookie receivers and Kyle Shanahan, the fact that people consider him the third wide receiver on this team without BA and without Robinson, who they expect to be out, he's probably going to get suspended for, I don't know, a few games, at least three games probably. The fact that he is going to possibly open up in the depth chart as the third receiver is kind of crazy. It makes me think that there's somebody else out there that they could possibly find. I don't know if, you know, when we get closer to cut day, that there's someone that they kind of have in their head as if this person gets cut, maybe they have some sort of 49er ties, you know, in some way that they're on the radar. I just can you imagine Kyle Shanahan, you know, going into the season with this kid as the number three receiver?
I can't. Not based on the previous eight years here. And I can't even imagine how short that leash would be if that was true. I mean, he literally, if he can't drop a pass or miss a block because, you know, but if he's like the third one, then maybe that's how he gets to play, is because Kyle's hands will be just tied. unless we saw a sighting during the Denver game, unless they cut like Trent Sherfield and somebody who is obviously with obvious ties to the 49ers, like you had mentioned around cut day, he might be stuck with playing him.
Who is the who's the taller receiver that gone to New England a few years ago?
Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, he was the one in my mind, but I literally don't know what roster he's on right now.
I know, like I said, I know he was in New England last year, and I do not believe that he is there now. I'm just researching now about who are the veterans that are out there.
It looks like he's still on New England.
Wow. Okay.
But he's slim pickings. Yeah, like, but it's somebody like that. I'm not saying that he's going to get cut or anything, but it's somebody like that who you kind of wonder, someone who can quickly get sort of like Wilson, like whatever the wide receiver comparison equivalent would be to someone like Wilson, who could just come in and they know him very well.
Who is system adjacent? Somebody who's out of like somewhere like Miami or places where they're running the system.
Right. Right. So who's on your like little bit of good, little bit of okay list?
Let's see. My good pretty much was the same as yours. We didn't mention, I thought the second string defense was good, in the fact that the second string got the safety, held them to a field goal and a punt. So those three possessions where it was the second string out there was really good. So that was good to see. And, it was interesting that, most defensive coordinators kind of play it close to the vest, and are kind of vanilla, especially in the first preseason game. Yeah. But clearly, Saleh was blitzing, and he blitzed Lucas like three times. And then I know Beal got a blitz, and one time both of them came, and Beal got picked up, and Chase was like left free. So not only did they play well, but they were clearly scheming them. And that was kind of good to see.
You know what it kind of reminded me of a little bit was 2011, Jim Harbaugh's first season. The Niners, I think, open up the preseason against the Saints, and Greg Williams just blitzes Alex Smith like every single play. Now, Saleh didn't do that, but that's what it kind of reminded me of. Because like you, I didn't expect it because they don't really want to show their hand at all. And Saleh was just like, even Chase said it. He said Saleh said it was going to happen. And he's like, let it rip. And they did a bunch of times. So, yeah, that was actually fun to see. But I do wonder how much gamesmanship there is in that. Like, did the coach, they just practiced. So I don't know if Shanahan was like, hey, Sean, heads up. We may throw some blitzes at you. I have a question, though. What did you think about the rookie linebacker, Nick Martin?
That's a rough start. He had a rough start. All of the, we kind of moved into my bad was the linebacker position was kind of, it was rough. Beal didn't really have a great game. Tatum, Bethune was kind of suck. All of those guys who were in line for that spot next to Fred, who played, were, I don't think that anybody took a real step forward. Yeah. I didn't think. And I think Martin of all of them has the runway to really get playing time. Because everybody, keeps talking about how well D Winters is playing, but then every time that they show, say, an example of how he is playing well, it's always in the things that we know that he can do.
Right.
He's blitzing well. He's covering well. Nobody's saying anything about his play in the run game, which is the glaring weakness in his game. And if Nick Martin is to play, it would be on those first and second downs, on rundowns, it would seem, but he didn't do great at that. And again, you know, we talk about, you know, in Ryan mentioned it, and then he mentioned it again with when he was talking to Fred, that in the first preseason game, since they aren't tackling in practice, tackling can be kind of spotty. And it wasn't early for the Niners, you know, and Ryan mentioned it. They were tackling pretty well, you know, in the first quarter, and then it kind of fell apart for the rest of the game. And I know our guy Martin missed a few, and that's a problem, because that's, if he's going to secure time, that's what he needs to do. He needs to provide, he needs to be the guy who's going to step in there and really kind of be that kind of enforcer player. Cause I just don't, I expect him to be who they are. I just don't think that's who Winners is. And I don't expect him to, although athletically he kind of profiles, even come out of the draft, they talked about Greenlaw, but he just, I don't think he's, from an aggressiveness standpoint, I think that's an unfair comparison for him.
He and Winters are, to me, look like they're kind of the same player.
Oh, Martin?
Martin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but coming out of college, his reputation was to be a thumper.
Yeah.
But again, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm saying that if he is going to make his mark early, he needs to be that. He needs to be the guy who is, you know, jumping off the film in the run game. And he could win a role like that. And same way I was thinking on less to a lesser extent, we saw him a little bit. He's not a rookie, but Huff, I kind of think of him as a pass rusher. If in a ideal world from a 49ers standpoint, it looks like we haven't seen it in a game because Michael Williams didn't play, but there's been a lot of talk about on pass rushing downs, him kicking inside and Huff coming in. And I had said something earlier after they drafted Williams that, you know, in the best case scenario, they kind of build an end where, you know, Williams plays on the first two downs and then Huff plays on third down to kind of, you know, make up for, as Williams figures things out as a pass rusher, if they could get some production out of Huff, it's like you kind of use the best of their skills to kind of build one player. And if they're able to kick Williams inside and he's been rushing, they say he's been rushing the passer good from the inside, then you've got, you know, two theoretically good pass rushers, you know. And I'm thinking that they could build a linebacker the same way with Winners and Martin. But like you say, they both seem like kind of the same guy early on. So I don't know. It remains to be seen what's going to happen next to Fred.
I'm glad you brought up Williams because I saw a tweet. So I think it happened at the joint practice with the Broncos. So there's a tweet that he's down and like people immediately were very nervous. And then, you know, a couple minutes later, then they were a little bit less nervous. And Shanahan said, looked like a hyperextended knee. And I, at that moment, you know, I was like, oh God, like, here we go. You know, starting the season with the bad injury look again. Thankfully, it sounds like he's not going to be out for too long, but I've heard the comparison. And I think it was Matt Barrows who said they could try and use him on third down like an Eric Armstead, where you slide him inside because he's taller and not as tall as Eric Armstead, but, you know, he's long. Mm-hmm. And that is an interesting idea, but it's something, you know, to expect that out of him this early in his career is probably, you know, I think it could be something that he maybe eventually projects to be able to do. I mean, if he could do that this year, that would be really interesting. But
I was talking to friend of mine who played defensive line in college, and he talked about how if as a young player rushing from the inside, it's not as okay, not to say it's not difficult, but the pass rush moves and, you know, going against a guard, especially at his size, might be easier early on than dealing with tackles in the league. That was the explanation that I was given as to why, if, because this was a weakness coming, because he didn't really rush the passer much or well at Georgia. That just wasn't what he did. And that's, again, as I've said 100 times this offseason, to point that out is not me saying that he'll never be a pass rusher, but early on this offseason, people were making this ridiculous comparison between him and Auden Smith, which was just completely unfair to Williams, because if you look at, you know, Auden Smith was a terror at Missouri, and when he came to the 49ers, he was a terror there. So yeah, it was, you know, again, this was not something that Williams showed at Georgia, but we don't expect, or we shouldn't expect, these rookies to come in as finished products. They're allowed to grow, and, you know, it's crazy that if they're not, you know, all pros after their rookie season, how we can, as fans, can sometimes get down on them, where, you know, it's okay for, I was reading an article on, you know, how Braden Williams is, Willis is coming along, and this is year three. It's just like, a lot of times after, if a guy hasn't popped after his rookie season, we kind of throw him away or, you know, write him off, where that is not at all uncommon. If you look at the history of the NFL, that it takes, sometimes it just takes guys longer than it takes others. One that I always, and he'll bring it up on the internet, is Jesse Sapolo, is how he was hurt for like the first 3 years of his career. And he talks about how, you know, he was shocked that they never gave up on him. But then, you know, it turns out he was an all-pro, and, you know, he's one of, you know, one of the most decorated players in 49er history. I just bring that up to say that, you know, when guys come into the league, that we need to allow for the fact that maybe they aren't going to be, maybe they'll never be all pros, because, I mean, that's high, it's a high bar. But yeah, if they're not good now, that doesn't mean that they'll never be good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the one, you know, the unfortunate thing about some of the injuries, especially with the receivers, is that you would like to see, or at least I would like to see, some of these young guys on the field to see who is going to take advantage of the opportunity, because with no Brandon Ayuk, with no DeMarcus Robinson, probably for the first three games, and by the way, for folks who don't know, I think he pled no contest to a DUI sometime in the summer. And Addison from the Vikings had a similar issue, and the NFL suspended him for three games. So I think people assume that Robinson is going to get suspended for around that time. So I would love to see a Jacob Cowing or a Ricky Pearsall on the field, just to see, because I think, you know, fantasy-wise, people are expecting Pearsall to kind of be Brock Purdy's go-to. I think there's a little bit of a comparison to how McConkey played last year, because they were drafted, you know, sort of the, you know, around the same area of the draft. But I would love to see Pearsall. I want to see, you know, how he looks. People say, you know, he's faster than you think, but then other people say, like, he struggles to, you know, with contact. And then we have Cowing, who, you know, we know that Kyle didn't really like him in his rookie season. And every time it seemed like they wanted to get him to do something, you know, it was like a bubble screen, and then he would go long and they'd throw it out of bounds. And that was it. That's all we saw of him. The fact that he's got to miss this opportunity with the hamstring is not great for him, because I think it's an opportunity after his spring that they thought that he had shown real signs of improvement. Like, he really needs to get on that field. I would love to see Pearsall, though you don't want to see too much of Pearsall, because I think he showed enough at the end of last year where they do believe he's going to be a player. But there's so much opportunity. That's why Watkins, you know, getting the ball as many times as he did, as he got it, was kind of cool to see. It's like, okay, they want to see these guys on the field. I'm just bummed that, you know, Cowing still just cannot get out there and show his stuff. I think it's this is kind of a put up or shut up preseason for him, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I am listening to all the national fantasy people just like you are, and I get it from their standpoint. There is a huge target, you know, share open with Ayuk not being there and with Debo being gone. And who's going to fill that spot beyond the fact that I think that, you know, if we're in a fantasy league together. I don't know how much I should be saying on here, but I, even after CMC and George fill their bellies with targets, I don't know, you know, there's still going to be plenty of targets to go around, and we haven't seen JJ. And I don't know at this point if this is hold out or if he's injured. And so, well, you would still think that JJ and Ricky would both have plenty of target shares. And even still, if you factor those in, there should still be targets for other players.
Yeah.
And who those other players are going to be, like, you, to your point, we can only be left to guess.
You mentioned JJ, and I just assume that he's going to be back. But as we know, on this team and in the Bay Area, calf injuries often lead to some really bad stuff. Kevin Durant's Achilles issue started as a calf injury. I think this is the second time JJ's had this calf thing happen. So, and this is, you know, how last season McCaffrey's thing started supposedly as a calf injury. So
started as a calf injury.
And, yeah, Dre. And so I shouldn't even, you know, take that for granted that he's going to be there. So there may be even more possibilities for opportunity. And but, you know, the one that we always fall back on is, like, the only constant as long as he stays healthy to me is George, because he's just always there. And McCaffrey, if McCaffrey is 80% of who he was 2 years ago, he's still going to be in the mix. And I hope he's even more than that. So, okay. Now if we kind of lean towards some of the negative things that you saw in your three quarters of watching that game, what do you think?
I had three. We didn't talk about any of them. I'm going to leave my first one. I think I'll leave that to you. Let's go with the offensive line and the backups.
Burford got cooked like two times in a row.
God, I was like, you know, this swing tackle experiment is not going great for Mr. Burford. Left tackle is what I, you know, it was.
Did you see Shanahan's excuse for him?
Mm-mm, no.
So I think the first one, they were on a quick snap. So he said that end, I forget his name, jumped it and timed it perfectly. But he said the second one, there was supposed to be a chip and it didn't happen. So Burford was expecting help and didn't get it. So that screwed the second one.
And then
one
what
up.
About the third time? It was like, he got him like three, and the dude got him like three times in a row. It was crazy. But yeah, that dude was eating his lunch. So, and I guess that kind of leads to the second thing. And I've got a third, but I don't want to really crush Mac. is this just the depth issue, is that I, you know, if we want to, I can make the case for, you know, they signed all of our tentpole players, and clearly the goal is to put, this is via Jordan Rodriguez and Mina Kimes. They both posited this in their breakdown of the NFC West, that the Rams and the 49ers and specifically build their rosters similarly, and that they have tentpole players at key positions that they put in place, and then the hope is that they can just fill out around those players and field a good team. So like for the 49ers and the Rams, quarterback is important. So you got Stafford and Purdy. They really believe in those guys. You got Kittle, you've got Bosa, you've got Warner, and those, and hopefully BA comes back, and that's the 49ers core. And then they, and CMC, and they hope that they can just fill in around those guys. They stay healthy and they're able to get enough out of the supporting cast that they make that work. And it'll work great if all of those pieces stay together, and then you can get some of these other guys to take good roles. I mean, step forward and take roles. And that's great in the first 22, if you can do that. Our problem is our depth. You can, and that's what you see, I believe, in the preseason. And that's what you're looking for is for how long is it before we just stink? And it, because that tells you how long, how many good players that you have beyond your starters. And we looked good. Our second string, we got some really promising players there. But once those guys came off the field, it became a shit show pretty quickly. And all that means is our depth is not, you know, it's not where it needs to be. It's not where we aren't where we were 2 years ago in terms of depth. You know, so it, that continues to be a concern, and willfully, it's for a lot of these guys, it was their first preseason game. And again, I'm not trying to overreact, because as we just discussed, a lot of the guys that we are hoping can take steps forward did not even play. I mean, guys who aren't currently expected to be starters, but who we would, in an ideal world, would kind of be some of these depth pieces on our second and third teams, aren't even, either they did, but most of them aren't. It wasn't that they didn't play because they were held out. They didn't play because they just aren't healthy enough to play, which it's getting late early, you know, because I mean, we're like a month away now. I think it's like 4 weeks, right?
Yep.
And then you get this whole thing about how long or how many guys are even going to play as we move on. Because I mean, depth has just become such a problem where they're just, you know, they're having a hard time having enough guys out there for practice, you know, so it's not even, you know, getting guys work to see if they're going to make the team. You know, I had seen where Kyle had said earlier this year that he prefers to have 6 wide receivers out there, and you've seen several times during this offseason where they've had to cut other positions just to get the receiver number up to where, you know, and he says you can run a practice with 5, but you ideally have 6, but it gets to a point where if you only have 4, it really makes it difficult for you to even really run a full practice. So, and there's been several times where those numbers have gotten, you know, that low where, you know, they're bringing in six guys trying to find somebody to just get out there and be a practice body.
Where's my guy Tariq Owens, man?
I know. Again, he didn't get any run while I was watching. Did he
I don't
get
think into the fourth so. quarter? If he did, I did not see him.
Wow. That's disappointing. You know, I'm sure his dad is disappointed.
Let me see. Oh, it looks like, okay, if I believe this ESPN box score, he got one target. That's what his stats show, is one target.
Okay.
Number 83.
On your scorecard? Okay.
Yeah.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, my bat, I was kind of busting Carter Bradley, but it's like, he's a third string. They're going for the third string quarterback job. Tanner Mordecai, Carter Bradley. Carter Bradley obviously is the better arm. I was just mostly frustrated at Ryan for trying to make me think that there was something there that I was not watching. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I'm watching this game. You can't tell me that this kid is, you know, the next coming of, or maybe he is the next coming of Druckenmiller, man, when it comes to arm strength, because he was throwing some Druckenmiller-like balls in there. But, you know, it's hard for me to really blow someone up. The one that I was really focused on was Nick Martin, just because we had talked about him earlier in the offseason on one of the shows we did over the summer. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think most people are probably watching him very closely. And maybe there was a little bit of you know, adrenaline and it's his first chance. And, you know, he was missing some things of, you know, getting taken a wrong angle or whatever. And I hope to see that, you know, improves and he does kind of fit in a little bit better. But he was really the only one for me. And then the Burford thing was also stood out. But then, you know, listening to Kyle, either Kyle is trying to make us believe that this offensive line is not as bad as you and I think it is, or like he just knows it. there's something football wise that he believes in, because I heard him on Tim Kawakami's show, and he was kind of like frustrated by the bad reputation that his offensive line has, and he thinks that they're a good group and that, you know, they're underrated and this and that. So, you know, something there for them to deal with. But yeah, that was the thing that kind of was highlighted. You know, there's like, oh, I got to circle that thing right there. Like he got him twice in a row, and Burford like almost didn't touch him either time. So, but preseason game one.
I'm sure they're nice guys, but yeah, I try not to say anything or to be mean spirited. I'm just, you know, they just don't seem to be very good. And again, looking at the advanced stats for somebody like Colton McKibbitz, mm-hmm. he was much better at the end of the season. And then what I forget who, I think it was Dominique Foxworth who did the analysis, and he was talking about how, you know, Colton McKibbitz is about to get paid, and it doesn't really have anything to do with how good he is. It's just, if you look at how bad the right tackles are in the league, you learn very quickly that where he is on the pecking order of right tackles makes him like a $15 to $18 million player, which is crazy to me. But apparently right tackle is just there are, you know, 10 to 12 teams for whom Colton McKivitz would be an upgrade at right tackle.
Well, who's the kid that went to Kansas City?
Jalen Moore.
Right.
He got about that same amount of money. He got about $15 million, and he was a backup here. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But great for him.
There's definitely a market inefficiency when it comes to the talent for that expected position. And these guys are going to get paid because they can actually go through a whole season and finish it, essentially. You know, if you can stand up at the end of 17 games, you're showing value in that way. So it's kind of interesting the way that's going to work. All right, so Niners play again next Saturday against the Raiders. And so we'll be back sometime after that game. And then they have a game against the Chargers on the 23rd. After that, it's 2 weeks until the opening season. So we'll have to figure out our schedule around that. But I think the plan is we may go live stream. We may not. In this case, we did not go live stream. But we'll sort of figure out that rhythm in how we want to do that during the season too, because there's going to be some spots for me where I will not be able to go exactly live after the game is over like we like to do. But we'll figure all of that stuff out. But we're kind of back for the most part, which is awesome. You know, the football season is so short by comparison to the NBA and Major League Baseball. So most of our time is kind of away, and then we're just like boom, 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 consecutive weeks after games. So, which is kind of fun, but it's just a little bit of a different schedule when it comes to the podcasting. So we'll be back at some point next week. And the one other thing I was going to ask you about, are you going to watch this Dallas Cowboys Netflix documentary that comes out on, I think it's the 19th. I forget how many episodes there are, but it's a bunch of episodes. But Netflix Cowboys, Jerry Jones, I think Emmett's on it, Dion is on it, a bunch of all the old cowboy heads are on it. Have you heard about this documentary?
Yes, I have. I am a Bill Simmons devotee, and he has really been talking it up. And I wasn't going to watch it, but he seems so excited about it. So I am probably going to watch it just because of Bill Simmons. So yes,
he has been pumping it up. He's totally been pumping it up, which makes me wonder who's actually doing it. Because, so the guy that Bill Simmons started 30 for 30 with, Connor Schell, I know he's kind of still in that game. So it makes me wonder if he's behind this. Omaha has been doing a lot of stuff as well. So I'm not even sure who's the producer behind this one. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I know just as much about those early 90s Cowboys teams as probably a lot of the Cowboys fans, just because they were our competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Skip Bayless had a book that had come out right around that time that I read. And then Jeff Perlman wrote a book called, I think it's called Boys Will Be Boys or something like that. And I read that. I love that stuff. So this is right up my alley too, as far as I just know so much about those teams, and there will be a lot of Niners stuff in there too because of those games.
Just by association. Those
games were. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll see the Jerry Rice fights, you know, before the NFC Championship game and all that stuff. And I'm sure we'll see Terrell Owens at the Star and all that stuff. So that'll be fun to watch. But yeah, if you are a fan of the docs and stuff, so in a little bit over a week, that will debut on Netflix.
I have a little something this this coming week, I'm going to try to get out to Raiders training camp.
Oh, no way.
They're supposed to be having an open practice with the Niners. I don't know which day it's going to be. If it's supposed to be either Wednesday or Thursday. Well, the Raiders are practicing both days, but I'm not sure which one is supposed to be the joint practice. And I want to try to get out there for that.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about going to the game, but tickets are crazy. So unless I can get somebody to donate, I'm probably not going to pay that much for a preseason game.
Just for preseason, man.
That's crazy. But yeah, I'm back in Vegas though. So, I mean, I've got a lot of
connections, man. You got connections
and get comps. So yeah. but yeah, if I do go out there, I might do might shoot you a little video and send it to you
that'd be great. See
if it's something that you can use. But yeah, I'm glad we are back.
Yeah, we're back. This is going to be a blast. You know, I think we are both a little bit more on the weary side about the team and whether or not this last place schedule and this and that. It's interesting to see the national media. I always lean local because the local covers the team so closely, but the national media does give you kind of like this big picture, and it's almost like every prognosticator sort of feels like if the Niners don't win 10 games, like, you know, then they are trash. Like, it's almost like a given that they're going to win. They're going to go 10-7. I'm still a little bit weary about that. I want to see them actually on the field, and I want to see how we're dealing with some of these injuries. I already don't like the look of all of these guys who are supposed to be contributors already missing stuff. So, but you know, we're always excited to talk about the team and the games and everything. Football is so perfect for us in that way. You get one game a week, you talk about it Monday through Saturday, and then it's done on Sunday, and you talk about it Sunday night, and then you go move to the next one. So it's great in that way. For this channel, Brad and I will be back with Thompson to Clark. We'll be talking about our sadly embarrassing San Francisco Giants, who have lost, I think, 10 of 11 at home. And I went on Saturday. Had a great time. It was a beautiful day. So sad watching baseball players try to hit a baseball and being unable to do so very well.
Successfully.
And then I think Brian and I will probably be back Thursday again with Valks Valley. Valkyries won a big game, as big of a game as you can with still, like, you know, 3 weeks left in the season, 4 weeks left in the season or whatever it is. But they beat the Sparks, and the Sparks are right on their tails for that last playoff spot in the WNBA playoff race. And so the Valkyries play again on Monday and Wednesday. So Brian and I will be able to talk about the three games in between the last time we recorded. So that is that. And we're back, like Rod said. So for Rod, I am Double G. We will see you next week. Peace out.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.